The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Jeff Sherman and Dave Spano. Working for it all, but it's money, money. It's
money, money. It's money, money. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined on the phone by Dave Spano, CEO at NX Wealth Management. Dave, how was the weekend?
It was great. Watched the Super Bowl yesterday. Had a lot of fun.
Good, good. You have a favorite ad that you're still thinking about on this morning after?
Well, there was a lot of good ones. I think, to me, my favorite was the other David Beckham, right?
Yes.
Matt Damon in the Stella commercial, and they said, David, we have something to tell you. You have another brother. He's the other Dave.
Yeah, I thought
it's still classic.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that spot, kind of reintroducing the brand and kind of bringing it to, you know, different demographics, having some fun with it. Stella is kind of that upscale beer brand, and I think they said, hey, this brand appeals to everyone, and did it really well. I thought it was interesting that Dunkin' went after Starbucks early on. Yeah. That was a good spot. And Ben Affleck saying, you know, how much money do I want to spend to wait a half hour to get my name spelled wrong on a cup?
Exactly. Well, then the other thing is, you know, Matt Damon was also mentioned in that, right? So
yeah.
we should have hired Matt.
That's right.
So
yeah.
a lot of stuff. You know, and the other thing I thought was pretty good was the big man on the cul-de-sac. I did get some humor out of that. Those two guys and shooting the beer cans out of the leaf blower. I thought that was all good stuff.
So. Yeah. Very relatable for sure. Well, I mean,
do you play pickleball?
Yeah, I do a little bit. I'm a tennis player, but I don't play a ton of pickleball. But the pickleball spot was really cool because, again,
right,
multi-generations, and it introduced a new brand, you know, the Mick Ultra Zero, which was really, really a cool way to do it because it ties it back to fitness, and that's what Mick Ultra has done really well.
And of course, William Dafoe and Catherine O'Hara just kicking everyone's butt on the court. It was pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, really good use of celebrity there for sure. So related to advertising, Dave, I want to ask you, what do you think the mood is now for the American consumer? And you know, can we answer this question in a non-political way? And what's the data saying in terms of how people are viewing spending now?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question. So, you know, everyone knows they have this Michigan consumer sentiment, and they go out and they do a survey, right, of households, and they ask them basic questions about their personal finance, business conditions, the overall economic outlook, and they take a survey. And, you know, there's things that obviously can change that, and, you know, the inputs that they've learned over time are economic conditions, and the changing of those change people's moods, interest rates, geopolitical events, stock market performance, all of these things certainly change people's perspectives. And it's changing. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning that, you know, a lot of this enthusiasm that Trump came in is now turning into, well, let's take a look at what really is going to happen. Are the tariffs really going to go through? Is it really not a negotiating tactic? And so a lot of this stuff is interesting in changing people's perspectives. You know, we spent some time talking about tariffs, and my comment a couple of weeks ago is he's using an economic tool to achieve non-economic outcomes. And will that really work? Because at the end of the day, if you just use it as a lever, that's one thing. But if you actually input them and implement them, that's a different thing altogether. But I know you try to answer this question, you know, apolitically, and I certainly try to answer all my questions apolitically.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, if you identify as a Republican in the sentiment study, it went from a 47 all the way up to an 83. And if you identified as a Democrat, it went from a 92 all the way down to 59. So it's just a big old flip-flop, depending on how you identify as a Republican or a Democrat. So it certainly, economics does play into people's mood.
Yeah, and I think, you know, whether it's a political answer or not, we're getting to a point where it's macro and micro, too. People are seeing, oh, what's happening on the large-scale global level. But ultimately, people want to know what's happening in their world, in their communities, and with their jobs. So I think it's interesting to see how mood and sentiment changes with job numbers, too. How, I want to see when we come back, Dave, how you interpret the jobs report from Friday, because the jobs market seems like it's chugging along pretty well, but at a little bit of a slower pace than the previous 2 months. We're talking with Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
How old are you, Michelob Ultras?
Excuse me, would you consider playing us?
For the Ultras.
Oh, we're kind of at a high level.
Fascinating.
You guys sure you want this?
Please serve.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined on the phone by Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. Pickleball provides lots of new jobs in many, many ways, right? The sport's exploding on a local and national level, more broadcast and media opportunities, obviously taking it to the next level with Super Bowl ad yesterday from Mick Ultra Zero. So, Dave, as we look at the mood connected to the jobs report on Friday, what's your interpretation here? It seems to be moving along at a pretty good, brisk pace.
Yeah, it really is. It was a mixed report, to be honest, the way we looked at it. But, you know, you got to put a lot of things into this. And one of them is immigration, right? So if the immigration picture changes, what does that mean to certain industries? Think, you know, agriculture or think retail, you know, beverages, all of these things in the retail space. That could change significantly. And then, you know, the other thing that we're looking at is there's a possibility that the Fed has overinflated the number of jobs that are out there. And so we could get a correction. We're gonna learn a lot more this week, Jeff, because this is the week that we get the semi-annual report from the Fed. And so Chair Powell testifies before Congress. And this check-in will, I'm sure, he'll take a lot of questions. And he hasn't been the favorite person of DJT. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll find out what that is. And, you know, I would say for sure there's going to be a lot of questions and a lot of concern about how this thing goes forward. But as you said, it is chugging along.
Yeah.
But there's two pieces that we're looking at. It seems that the GDP numbers are lower than they were anticipated, and inflation is higher than anticipated. And those two things will probably put the Fed on ice for a bit.
Hmm. All right. Well, I want to keep tax policy and tax code front and center here as we head into April. There's a controversial loophole in the tax code that's kind of under threat. You mentioned Donald Trump. Why does he want to close the carried interest loophole? And first and foremost, talk to us about what the carried interest loophole is and what the effects could be.
Yeah, so carried interest is it's deep in the tax code, and it's really for real estate developers, hedge funds, private equity, that they get a tax benefit, and this is the tax benefit. So normally if you get a distribution and it's a pass-through, you take it as income, right? And you have to put it on the income schedule, and mm-hmm. you know, it goes all the way up to, you know, up to 40% if you include the 3.8%. So this carried interest says it's not income, but it can be taxed as capital gain because it's a risk asset. And so, you know, it is, to me, it's red meat. And it seems like Trump is throwing two things to the Democrats, mm-hmm. You know, because he's negotiating.
Yeah.
And the two things are carried interest, because it's, to me, it's a big nothing burger. And number two is he's going to invoke the SALT tax, the state and local income tax. So the Democrats want SALT back, and they really want to say, why did these big hedge fund, you know, big shots get a tax benefit that normal people don't get? So if he gives them carried interest, and perhaps, because it doesn't make a lot. If you look at it, it's symbolic. It's probably $1 billion a year, you know, and you think about mm-hmm. that relative to the real budget, you know, it's not much.
Right.
And then SALT. So if he gives these two things, especially to those people who live in California and New York who pay higher real estate taxes, then he can come back and say, all right, then this is what we want. And it might be a lower corporate tax. Today it's 21%, and that's permanent. That doesn't go back. Maybe lower that down to 15 or 16 or even 18%.
All right. So, again, kind of that micro and macro. I mean, things are in negotiation. We're in that negotiation phase, and we'll see where it all shakes out.
Yeah, you know, I'm calling you today from sunny Florida.
Ah, all right.
And it's interesting. We have an office down here in Naples, Florida. And it's interesting. A lot of happy faces down here.
Yeah. I mean, what are, when you look at kind of the key economic differences between Wisconsin and Florida, what stands out there for you?
Well, you know, you think about why people come down here, right? Well, obviously the weather, right?
Yeah.
So if you, you know, it's 80 and sunny, not to bring that up, but because I'm a Wisconsin boy, right?
That's
but
right.
Weather's part of that. Uh-huh. You know, people are out. You know, no state income taxes. So Florida does not have a state income taxes. Now they get revenue from other places,
mm-hmm.
right? But
right.
Allowing residents to keep more of their state income tax. So a lot of people will relocate from high tax states, not Wisconsin, but New York and New Jersey and places like that where it's much higher than it is in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and they relocate and they don't have to pay that. So that's part of it. Retirement and health care are all part of these things. But the job market here, we talked about job market earlier, tourism, health care, technology are all down in Florida. And, and parts of Florida are different, right? So Southwest Florida is a little different than Jacksonville, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so all of these are part of the conversation. And, I drive around and I see lots of Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota license plates all over the place. So it's very on the southwest side of Florida. It's very Midwest centric and more on, on the other side, the Palm Beach areas, Fort Lauderdale, it's more of an East Coast thing. But that's changing as well, too.
Yeah. Well, and you just look at the jobs. I mean, you mentioned it's tourism and real estate mainly in Florida and still
right.
in Wisconsin, the economy mainly driven around manufacturing and agriculture. So, I mean, they're obviously all very important. But when you look at a purely personal standpoint, hey, maybe it is that no income tax policy thing that is making people say, hey,
in the weather, the weather doesn't hurt.
If I want to relocate,
right?
Yeah, I would say on the weather side, Dave, for me, I like to live in the Midwest. I like the change in seasons, and it makes me appreciate those 70
degree
days
and bled,
so much more.
I'm born and bred Wisconsin boy, so I'm with you on that.
No matter what, bring back some.
I'm down here working, everybody.
Yeah, that's right. It's all about work. All right, Dave, enjoy the rest of the week. Always appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. See ya.
Okay, see ya.